Tonight's video, we are diving into the story of three deep sea researchers that go on an expedition off the coast of California, who were sent out on a few days' voyage to investigate the aquatic weird behaviors from the animals in the sea, and what they witness and experience will frighten you. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. How I almost died on a research mission in the depths of the sea. This happened a long time ago. I was many years younger then, and so many years less experienced. I was recruited for a job aboard a research submarine, exploring the waters around my hometown. Reports of strange aquatic animal behaviors had been surfacing all along the coast. And being familiar with the field of marine biology, I was all too willing to help investigate. I signed up for the job without hesitation, needing both the work experience and the money. I wasn't all too familiar with submarines, however. When I arrived at the beach, I was surprised to discover that the vessel would have a crew of only two other people. I ran up to the pill-shaped contraption, which was being loaded with all manner of strange equipment that I had never seen before. The two men hauling equipment into it were almost polar opposites in appearance. One had dark, clean-cut hair, a bulky build, and a hard look in his eyes. He was wearing what looked to be a scuba suit. The other was a short and lean with a sandy, tousled mane of hair and a more jovial, optimistic look about him. As I stepped onto the dock, the blonde one stopped to greet me. He held out his hand and shook mine with a grin. "Pleased to meet you," he said in a friendly tone. "I'm Sam. I'm going to be your captain for the next few days while we get this whole situation figured out. What's your name?" "Danny," I said, smiling back. I then reached out to shake the other man's hand. He didn't smile, and curtly introduced himself as Robert. "You two can climb inside the sub and sit down in the back while I get her loaded in," said Sam. I took one last look at the ocean. It was a bright, clear day, and the sea was as calm and empty as ever. I mused to myself and wondered how anything unusual could be going on in those clear waters. I clambered in, closely followed by Robert, and then Sam a few minutes later, who latched the door behind him. It was much colder in the submarine, and being packed so close together in this cramped metal walls made me feel a little bit claustrophobic. But I didn't have time to worry about any of that. Before I knew it, we were plunging into the water. The waves crashing against the front window as we hovered just above the surface. Outside the portholes, I could see the divide between the water and the sky. I thought to myself how different it would be, being submerged for so long, not being able to see the sky. And then it was gone, swallowed up by the waves. The engine started with a dull roar, and we sped into the blue depths. Everything started out normal, though, so normal, in fact, that I forgot all about our job. Fish darted in by shoals, then scattered as our vessel carved its path through the reef. I gazed out the windows to see crabs peeking out from behind rocks, eels slithering in and out of crevices, and even a shark that drifted by the craft. Sam's voice brought me out of my reverie. "You two see anything strange yet?"
"No," I replied hastily.
"Just that shark," Robert said gruffly.
I paused for a moment. The shark wasn't strange, right? I had seen many sharks in these waters. It wasn't out of the ordinary at all.
but then I looked more closely at its receding form in front of us. Something did feel off about it, but I couldn't place my finger on what. It was eventually swallowed up by the sea fog, lost from sight.
"Ah, I see," Sam said from the front of the sub. "I say we keep a tail on it, find out where it's heading."
The sub sped up, but Sam couldn't seem to find the shark. Robert was staring out his window, so I turned to look out mine.
"Stop the sub," he said suddenly.
"Why?"
came an inquiry from the front.
"Because I've seen something," Robert said, a hint of exasperation in his voice.
The craft slowed to a stop and Robert got up.
"Are you going out there?"
asked Sam.
"Of course," Robert replied, already putting on his scuba helmet.
"Okay, just be careful."
"I've done this before," he snapped back.
I don't understand why Robert had to be so standoffish. His unnecessary arguing made me almost want to turn the sub around and head back to shore myself. Looking back now, I wish I had.
Sam led Robert into the pressure chamber, which would flush out all the seawater and make sure the pressure changes didn't kill Robert. I could hear them scuffing around in there. For some reason, my nerves were already shot, and every bump and bang sent me into a slight panic. The walls were staring at me coldly. They were all so cold. It had been a long time now. 5 minutes, maybe six. I jumped when the door finally opened. Sam stepped out, sealing the chamber behind Robert. I watched as the diver swam out the sub and along the ocean floor. Sam and I were silent. Robert stopped suddenly, digging something out of the sand. He began to swim back, but then froze as if petrified. His flippers stopped moving, and he sank a few feet before he seemed to remember how to use them. When I saw what he was looking at, I gasped. It was a great white, a massive one, too. But that wasn't the scariest thing. And then it hit me what was so unsettling about the other shark. As this great white drifted right past the window, it didn't move a muscle. Its fins were completely still. Its eyes glazed over and empty. Behind those glassy eyes, there was nothing but a husk. The creature continued to float eerily, following almost the same trajectory as the other shark we saw. I turned quickly to Sam. "Did you see that?" But he was staring out his own window. Through it, I could see a shoal of fish. They weren't swimming either. They were drifting lifelessly, perfectly in sync with each other. Sam turned back to me, a strange expression in his eyes.
"I don't know what's going on here," he said, "but it's not like anything I've ever seen before."
Just then, we were both startled by a pounding on the pressure chamber door.
"That, must be Robert," said Sam, regaining his composure.
He drained the chamber, then opened the door. A few drops of seawater still clung to the door frame. Robert stumbled into the room, prying off his helmet. He, too, had an expression that I hadn't seen before. If I hadn't met him, I might have mistaken it for fear. He collapsed onto the seat, and that was when I realized that he had been holding something in his hands.
"Nasty thing," he said, parting his fingers. "Like that other beast out there."
I looked at the thing he was holding. It looked to be a silver surf perch, a common fish around here. On its side, though, there was a gaping wound. It looked to be a bite, but it was like no bite I had ever seen before.
It was just a collection of vicious puncture marks going deep into its flesh. They oozed a disgusting green fluid. It bled out and was starting to drip all over Robert's gloved hands. Sam took a step back.
What on earth, Robert, what?
I was just as speechless.
Is that safe? Sam followed up.
It should be, Robert replied.
But he said it more to himself than to us. He shoved the lifeless fish into a small bag that rested next to his seat. Sam ran to the front of the sub and started the engine.
We need to follow those fish, he announced.
The engine flared to life and the sub accelerated towards the empty blue waters ahead. I glanced at Robert. He seemed disgruntled, almost worried. But Robert wouldn't be worried. Robert couldn't be worried. I shifted in my seat and turned to look out the window.
Was that a shark in the distance?
No, probably just a trick of the light. I noticed we were beginning to descend along with the seafloor. The inside of the sub was getting colder. So cold that I started to shiver. I put on a heavy coat that I had been advised to pack with me. Then, I saw the most terrifying thing up until that point. It was definitely a shark, not a trick of the light. Because it was so close. It almost glided past us, like a mindless zombie. And I could see it twitching ever so slightly. Along its side were two clear bite wounds, leaking a cloud of green ooze into the water. The shark kept going, and I could see that everyone was unnerved. That was when there were more. It started as just a few more, just a light sprinkling of fish. There were some eels, a turtle, a hammerhead, all moving exactly the same.
We should turn back, said Robert, making me jump again.
I looked at him. Was it just a light, or did his expression seem less confident than before? Sam's voice sounded distant when I finally heard it.
Turn back now? We're finally getting somewhere.
Then Robert stood up, bracing himself against the wall of the sub.
Sam, we have to go back.
Robert, please sit down. I don't see any good reason to turn back. The sea creatures are acting odd, sure, but they don't seem to have any interest in us.
You don't understand. We can't keep going. This is getting bad.
I turned to look out the window, and my heart dropped a few feet. There were so many more. Too many more. I could see at least five sharks right outside the window, surrounded by dozens of fish. Behind that, I could make out several more ghostly forms in the sea fog. They drifted in and out of view, but something told me that was because of the sub, not their movements. They made no movements. Outside Robert's window, it was the same. In front of us, it was the same. I looked down, only to see that the seafloor had completely dropped away from view. Below us, there was only ghostly blue fog, and somehow no aquatic creatures. It was like looking out of an airplane, only it felt scarier because you couldn't see what was down there. It was so empty, and yet I took no comfort in that emptiness, not like before. I heard Robert's voice again.
Please, this won't end well.
He paused and sat down again.
There's...
Before he could finish, a massive shadow blocked out all the light from the surface. Suddenly, only a dim glow from the hole illuminated the sub. The movement was almost as quick as it came, but the terror was not.
an enormous whale came into view above us, and for its size, it could have only been a blue whale. I had never actually seen one before, and maybe it should have been exciting, but now it only felt wrong. The animal drifted just as lifelessly through the water as all the rest. It didn't move its fins, its tail, anything. I couldn't see its eyes, but I could only imagine them, all clouded and dead. I could make out a faint trail of green following it. I thought I couldn't get any more unsettled, more scared, more terrified. But then everything stopped. All the creatures, the sharks, the fish, even the whale, they all just froze. The temperature seemed to plummet. The sub kept going. We passed under the whale again, and we continued through what would only be described as an undersea graveyard. They had to be dead, I thought. But they were all so still and entirely too coordinated. Hundreds upon hundreds of empty husks, nothing more. And yet, was that a scratching sound coming from below the sub? I was sure I heard something. There was dripping, too. That must have been from the pressure chamber. Sam mumbled a few words from the front. I looked at Robert, who had gone as white as a skeleton. He looked like he had seen one, too. And then he jumped to his feet so forcefully that he rocked the entire sub. "Go up," he said, deadly serious, but with a slight hint of panic in his voice. "Sam, I said go up." He grabbed something that looked like a flare. "Robert, you need to calm down." "Sam, you need to get to the frickin' surface right now, or one way or another, you're gonna die." I don't know if I agreed with the way Robert put it, but I definitely agreed with the sentiment. Right now, my heart was clawing its way up my throat, and my arm hairs were standing straight up. That was definitely scratching. I thought about saying something. I hesitated. I froze up and no words ever came out. Maybe if I had said something, it wouldn't have happened the way it did. Maybe. I don't know. Sam took a breath from the front seat. I felt the sub slowly pull to a dead stop. The rumbling of the engine gradually tapered away into the silence that permeated the air around us. He stood, turning to face Robert. He took another breath. The seconds crawled by like hours when I think about it. He takes another breath. There is no more scratching. There is no more dripping. The silence grows and grows, becoming this menacing thing that Sam is about to dispel with his next words. And then he breathes one last time.
Crash!
The hole is gone. Sam is gone.
Crash!
We were thrown upwards, and my lungs fill with water. I think I'm still in the sub.
Bang!
Everything hurts. I think I could hear the scratching. I think I could see something. I don't know what it is.
Crunch.
I'm thrusted backwards. But an arm grabs me and I stop moving. I can't hold my breath much longer. My lungs are bursting. I think we're going up. I bump my head on something. We stop. Something pulls down on my arm. I'm coughing. I can't breathe. I can breathe. I took massive gulps, inhaling the salty air as if I had never tasted oxygen before. I opened my eyes after what felt like forever. The sunlight almost blinded me at first, but I was ecstatic to see it. I also felt dizzy, faint, exhausted, and terrified. And my chest hurt. My chest really hurt, but I felt safe. Somehow, not being able to see what was under the water made it all go away. I looked to my side. Robert was there. Sam wasn't. But Robert was. It took me a moment to realize that he had been crying. His face was soaked, but I could see fresh tears rolling down his cheeks.
Robert, are you?
My voice trailed off.
I'm sorry, he said. I don't know.
Don't know what? I asked.
I don't know.
I left it at that. I didn't feel like talking right now. We started swimming away. Away is the only way to go now. Eventually, we were too tired. We stopped. I saw the flare, still clutched tightly in his hand, and I asked him for it. He handed it over to me listlessly, then turned away. It wasn't a big flare with smoke and fire. It was some sort of GPS device. I hoped that would help us, not hurt us. I pulled a little tab that activated it. Whatever happened now, help was coming. Soon. Robert had to keep me afloat for a while. I was cold and getting tired. Luckily, he could paddle for the both of us. Otherwise, I would have ended up dead. It only got colder and darker from there. The sun disappeared. I started to give up eventually. It was hard to breathe. I don't know how long it actually was. It felt like years, decades. I don't know how Robert kept going. Finally, there was a light in the sky. I smiled. I hope Robert smiled too. I heard the blades of a helicopter draw closer and closer, and a ladder tumble down from above. I had never been so relieved. After that, it was a blur. A lot happened. They took us into the helicopter, spent a while being questioned, but they were nice. Robert just kept repeating that he was sorry. I think he was in shock. I told them to look for Sam, but they said they couldn't see him. We made it to land after a while. The people on the helicopter determined that we needed medical attention, so that's what we got. The hospital was bland and stale. All I remember is what they told me. Apparently, I had nitrogen bubbles in my blood, and I was gonna die. Something to do with a sudden pressure change. They fixed that, though. Apparently, I also had a heart attack. They fixed that, too. I was surprised how much they fixed and that I lived. I felt bad for Robert, though. He had a bad gash in his leg. It was bleeding that same green ooze, and the doctors couldn't figure out what it was. But they found that it contained harmful chemicals and determined that it had to be removed. Unfortunately, the poison had spread to most of Robert's leg, so we had to have it amputated. He really didn't deserve it. He saved my life. I made sure to thank him for it, too. It was strange, though, because when I did, he only shook his head sadly. I just couldn't understand that man. I don't know what came of our research. Whether Robert told them anything, I never found out. I kept it private. No one would have believed us. I don't even really know what I saw. I mean, after the sub was ripped to shreds, my memories are all tangled and fuzzy. Nothing really fits right. So I left it to fate. Eventually, the reports died down. Aside from a decrease in biodiversity, I don't think anything came of it. I've never taken a swim in those waters since, but that's just me being paranoid. The one thing that haunts me is the thought of Sam. They never found him. I wonder sometimes if he's still drifting down there, his face pale and gray, his eyes covered by the fog of death, not moving a muscle, but still being pulled towards some singular point out in the cold, dark, lonely abyss.